God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I'm joined by Leonore Carvota. Hey, Leonore.
Good morning, Scott.
So I am a little bit disturbed by this poll has come out. The poll is by Fox News, and it's 51%. I'm thinking, who the heck are these 51% that can look into the eyes of Adam Schiff and think that this is not some sort of a game? And then I think
51% want to do what?
Impeach. Impeach the president. Now, the president came out with his own poll, I guess. He was going off some other data that said 25%
right.
would advocate for impeachment. And that makes sense to me. I think the number is probably about 25%. All the meatheads of the United States.
Literally the meatheads.
Yeah, literally the Rob Reiners of the world. I think there's 25% of our population is like that. But, you know, I hearken back to friends of mine in Philadelphia who were complaining before the 2016 election and saying, well, is he, you know, Trump can't admit that, you know, when he's not going to go away silently. He's going to complain. He's going to sue. He's going to. And I remember there was a lawsuit early in the day on election day in 2016. And I get a text from my buddy, and he's like, he's a radical liberal, right? Absolute, like, off the deep end left. I don't even know how he gets up in the morning, frankly. But I hope he's listening. He was like, oh, here it goes. You know, the Trump is already complaining and suing, and this is the way it's going to be, and you guys are a bunch of poor losers. And this was before we lost, right? And we won, right? We won big. In fact, that was like the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. And yet you still have Hillary Clinton, like, over the last 24 hours saying, you know, she could beat Trump again.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. She didn't win the first time. Where she gets this idea that she can beat him again. But, you know, I think she's just, dog whistling to her supporters who would love to see her enter the race.
But you know what's interesting about this whole impeachment thing? This is a political exercise.
You think?
No. I mean, that's technically what it is.
You know, it totally is a political exercise.
I'm not
exercise.
Just making it up.
No, it is completely a political exercise.
It is not in the court of law. There's no jurisprudence. You can indict a ham sandwich. And if you have the mainstream media, 95% of the mainstream media bashing our president, you know, God forbid they bash China, right? We're looking at this NBA story. And President Trump was on a press conference yesterday. And he weighed in on it. And he was talking about Popovich and some others, you know. I mean, the guy, Trump, he's so astute. He knows the names of these people. He knows exactly what's going on just about every category of American life. A lot of presidents are way out of touch with respect to those things. But President Trump is very much in touch with just about everything. And there's hardly anything that gets by this guy. I don't know how he does it. But, You know, you see the mainstream, you see the NBA bashing the president. We're not going to go to the White House, you know, and yet they cower down to China because of money and greed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a political exercise, this impeachment thing. And it's being drummed up in the fake news press. And it's the only game, it's the only play they have. And so just like before the 2016 election where there was a, I think they said Hillary Clinton has a 98% chance of winning. Right?
Well, you remember the line that you love to repeat over and over again. Donald Trump has no path to the presidency.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no path to the presidency. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it, the guy has no chance to win. Why don't you just go ahead and stay home and just save your popcorn? You know, it's not going to be anything to write about. Nothing to talk about here. Nothing to see here. And they're doing the same thing again. And they're doing it with this impeachment poll. I believe. I think it's fake. There's no way. And we're going to see it tonight in Minneapolis. We're going to see this big, huge rally. And I'm telling you, it's going to be huge because of the amount of press and the amount of protesters that are going
to
be there.
And
you
also
know why
the attempts
it is?
To shut it down, Scott.
Because this is a state that has 10 electoral votes.
Yes.
Just like Wisconsin. And this is a state where it's a buffer zone. So, you know, if Trump were to slip up somewhere else, he could get Minnesota. And he was close to getting Minnesota. And Minnesota hasn't gone blue, red in 50 years, I think. Well, at least 50.
So that would
since
be a,
Reagan, I think.
That would be a landslide moment. And, you know, when you think about it, this a lot of people are going to be watching this at the Target Center because of what happened with the police, because of the fact they wouldn't let the police wear their uniforms. They're going to be wearing the police for Trump red T-shirts. And then on top of that, you're also going to have, you know, you have that scandal about how they tried to put these security charges on the campaign and tried to mislead the American public and also keep people out.
Right. And, you know, so this is you could tell how worried the Democrats are by the amount of investment they put into something.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, but by Trump actually going into Minnesota the way he's doing, it's going to require that Democrats spend a lot of their hard earned cash they don't have. They're not generating a lot of money. I hear Biden is having trouble, you know, basically gaining money, right? I mean, I heard that he is he's having trouble drumming up money. Now, that being said, he's still slightly ahead in the polls, but he also came out with the impeachment thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard an interesting argument about this impeachment thing on behalf of Biden, and the whole Biden thing was, he's now on board with impeachment, and that's to placate to the radical fringe left,
of
right?
Of course.
Because he has to do that in order to get in touch with the left. So he's doing that, but guess what? You know, Melissa Francis said something very brilliant yesterday.
I like her.
And she said, while he's free to campaign around the country, if he can get Elizabeth Warren into the Senate, having to have an impeachment trial, you know, hunkered down with this impeachment negative baggage, right? Because by that time, I think even more proof is going to come out that, you know, that this is just a hoax, right? So she's going to be mired down in this procedural trial. And I think Biden looks at that as a way to surge ahead in the polls and campaign on a positive message while she's hunkered down with this negative called impeachment that doesn't bode well for her. And she's not going to be able to reach out to the people in key states and battleground states. Also, Elizabeth Warren, who has a plan for everything, is going to cost $32 trillion or something like that for her aggregate plans, is not trending well in a lot of the traditionally red states like South Carolina. And for the Democrat primaries, that's going to spell big trouble for Warren, and she might not make it out of the primaries. Who knows? We'll see. But You do, I thought you were going to want to comment.
No, I kind of feel that Elizabeth Warren, for a while, we were talking about her as the potential candidate, but she's had all these stories where she's been caught being two-faced, and I don't think that's going to help. So you have a bunch of things happening at once. You have the Biden-Ukraine controversy. You have Elizabeth Warren not telling the truth. You have Bernie's heart attack. I mean, so the fact that these three things happened within a day or two of each other, or they became news within a day or two of each other, it really is shifting the dynamics, despite the fact that the numbers haven't changed all that dramatically. There have been major incidents impacting the people at the top of the charts for the Democrats. So who the heck knows what could happen?
There's a lot more to roll out. If you listen to Giuliani, there's a lot of there. Mm-hmm. There's Giuliani brought up something related to Romania and the Bidens. And then there's this new wrinkle
What's with the Bidens in Eastern Europe?
Yeah, well, we know that there's a lot of trafficking going on.
Yeah.
And John McCain and Lindsey Graham used to spend a lot of time in that region mm-hmm. of the world. You got Tom Cotton demanding answers to ICIG Michael Atkinson, who we were talking about before anybody was. This is the crooked John Carlin ally who is at the origin of the Russiagate mm-hmm. FISA abuse that we hear is going to be coming out around the 18th of October.
Yeah.
And that was according to Maria Bartiromo. She had a good source on that. And it's the size of a phone book, okay? So the thickness of this Horowitz report is the size of a phone book. It's going to be a bombshell from all accounts. This is going to be the big one, and Trump's just biding his time, no pun intended. But there's a $900,000 payment. There's this related to the Bidens, but there's also this Ukraine. So you got the Ukraine thing and you got the impeachment thing on parallel tracks.
Exactly.
And I believe that the impeachment thing, well, it's directly related to the Ukraine thing. And we're going to get and peel this onion after the break. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with The Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I'm joined by Leonor Cravotta. And, you know, when you talk about a whistleblower, one of the things about a whistleblower is they take a lot of risk. They go it alone. They're breaking new ground. They're isolated from the world. In this case, the whistleblower, by all accounts, is an intelligence community CIA spook whose attorney worked directly for James Clapper. Okay. Mm-hmm. And James Clapper was on the board of Atlantic Council, and Atlantic Council is directly connected with a lot of spooks over at the Brookings Institute, who's directly connected, one and the same Lawfare group, the same attorneys that were involved with the Kavanaugh witch hunt, which is now going to be litigated in the Senate. The accusers are going to be questioned in the Senate, by the way. That's new news. The accusers of Kavanaugh are going to be questioned. That's going to bring Avenatti back in. And there's going to
just
be other...
We need more Avenatti.
No, we don't.
I'm being facetious.
Yeah, no, I know that. But, you know, whistleblowers are supposed to be, you know, people that really feel like there's something wrong. They have a firsthand account. They've seen it with their own eyes, and they need to report it. That's what a whistleblower is. And generally, it doesn't go well for whistleblowers. But now, you know, you listen to it, and whistleblowers need all this protection. Protection from what? We already have the transcript. There wasn't anything big happening there. The guy just basically uttered the mentioned name, Biden. Why did he mention Biden's name? Because Biden was out there in the public spotlight. Trump never mentioned one thing about Biden that we all didn't know already. I had seen that tape a year and a half, 2 years ago. That was not a new tape for mm-hmm. Joe Biden. I was wondering why nothing was done about it. And all of a sudden, something is being done about it. And it turns out it's really kind of a big deal that, you know, Biden withheld $1 billion unless within 6 hours, Ukraine fires a prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, who is directly investigating Burisma Holdings, who is paying not only $900,000 in one payment, $3 million in another, but upwards of $163,000 a month to Hunter Biden and his colleague. So I don't care how you slice it, but you know his connections with Bill Taylor, who was involved. He's the Ukrainian envoy guy. the former Ukrainian ambassador, his connections with Bill Bradley, and his connections with Cargo Matrix, and his connections with Ghislaine Maxwell, and you can parlay that over to China, and nuclear fuel rods. I mean, this gets to be pretty big and heavy. And if you listen to Giuliani, there's absolutely more. There's more. There's dirty stuff going on in Romania. So there's a lot to investigate. So Trump brings up this CrowdStrike server, which is at the forefront, is at the center of this whole Russian hoax that was used to cover up the Ukrainian hoax. And this is why when Trump was going to go to Helsinki, and this is why when Trump was hovering over Ukraine, they realized he was over the target, and that they didn't want any part of that. They didn't want to even have Trump go near that. And every time Trump goes near these things, it's like as if he's near a third rail. But there's a guy named John Kirikou, and this is a guy that floats around in the circles we float around.
Yeah, I've been in contact with him. In fact, I actually had an email from him yesterday.
Yeah, and so, you know, this guy, he was on Tucker Carlson, and he is a true whistleblower. He's a former CIA agent, and he was attacked by Bob Mueller, attacked. Mueller had a Kirikou attack file, and Mueller went after this guy, and guess who locked him up? Guess who actually put the handcuffs on this guy? Because he was blowing the whistle for mishandling some intelligence data. And it was none other than Peter Strzok that actually put the guy in cuffs. And so I want to play this clip. It's actually quite powerful, and I think it's worth a listen, because this is the way Obama treated whistleblowers, okay? So the mainstream media is out to lunch with hypocrisy.
Who everyone loves.
I don't think this is a whistleblower. Not at all. I think this is an anonymous source for the Democratic staff in the House of Representatives.
So that sounds very different from a whistleblower. What is a whistleblower? How is a whistleblower distinct from whoever this person is?
A whistleblower is someone who brings to light any evidence of waste, fraud, abuse, illegality, or threats to the public health or public safety. And they do this almost always with a great personal cost attached to it. Now, this so-called whistleblower at the CIA is someone who is acting anonymously. And remember, this person is not an undercover CIA operative. By all accounts, this is an analyst who is not undercover. Well, you can't hide this person's name, identity, just to save him from embarrassment or trouble of being recognized or something like that. It's just not appropriate. If this is a whistleblower, he needs to come forward in public, testify in open session, and blow that whistle.
What's interesting is that he comes out and makes these allegations, and then the White House immediately releases the transcript.
Right.
So it's kind of end of story. In your case, you made allegations that were true, it turned out.
Yes.
And you still went to prison for saying it out loud.
I did. I went to prison for 23 months. And you know, the same people that attacked me are attacking the president. Robert Mueller set up the John Kiriakou Task Force at the FBI. John Brennan petitioned Attorney General Holder to charge me with 5 felonies, including 3 counts of espionage, all of which were dismissed. And ironically, it was Peter Strzok who put the cuffs on me in 2012.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
So John Brennan, Peter Strzok, and Eric Holder, the same guy who spied on Associated Press journalists, the same guy who was censored for covering up Fast and Furious, you know, this was under the Obama regime, right? Now, you fast forward, this isn't even the same thing, right? This is a whole different animal. So not only do we know that the whistleblower worked in the intelligence community, but the attorney worked directly for James Clapper. The legal briefs are written as if they're coming from templates right out of Lawfare and Brookings Institute, the same group that was going after Kavanaugh. The other parts of this is that Nancy Pelosi changed the rules in the House of Representatives to where the Republicans have no rights whatsoever. She did that on the same day that the whistleblower actually filed, August 12th. And the Michael Atkinson guy, who Tom Cotton now wants to investigate, and Tom Cotton demands answers from ICIG Michael Atkinson after withholding info on whistleblowers' far-left bias during Senate meeting. I don't know how Michael Atkinson can sit there and say, use the same words that are, you know, like the words extreme carelessness versus
gross negligence.
Gross negligence. One is legal, one is not.
One's a crime, one is not.
Well, they use this urgent and timely manner, and they use all these code words that give and lend itself to action. And Michael Atkinson knew what he was doing. And again, Michael Atkinson worked for John Carlin, who wrote up a report and left out a few details that were actually damning to the deep state. And it was Admiral Rogers that actually was blowing the whistle on these use of these contractors that were used to spy and get warrants. And they said, basically, we got to stop this practice. This is not constitutional. This is a violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. And so Admiral Rogers just said, we're putting a freeze on the use of these subcontractors. And once they figured that out, they realized they were in trouble. They wrote up a report and sugarcoated it. And that was John Carlin. His advisor, Michael Atkinson. So Michael Atkinson is the basically the intelligence guy behind John Carlin, who is at the center of the Russian FISA abuse, which we're going to learn so much about come October 18th with the phone book size Horowitz report. We hope it's going to be as good as promised.
Next week's going to be a big week. A lot going on.
Absolutely. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with The Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I'm joined by Leonore Carvota in this hour. And, you know, I just want to say that this ambassador, Yovanovitch,
who's supposed to testify today.
Tomorrow. She's supposed to testify on Friday. And
I thought it was today.
No, but she's scheduled to testify on Friday. Mm-hmm. And more than likely, I think Pompeo is going to freeze her. Now, the only problem is she can go rogue. She's expressed that she wants to testify, that she basically hates Donald Trump. So, you know, this anti-Trump Ukrainian ambassador was monitoring communications of John Solomon, the reporter who's now been picked up as a contributing editor to Fox News and U.S. journalist. She was monitoring communication of John Solomon and other U.S. journalists prying into Ukraine. So anybody looking into Ukraine was going to get eavesdropped by this Obama-loving, Trump-hating piece of crap named Yovanovitch. Ambassador Yovanovitch is a noted Trump hater who blocked Ukrainian officials from traveling to the United States to hand over evidence of Obama's misconduct during the 2016 election to President Trump. Yovanovitch was U.S. ambassador to Ukraine during the 2016 election when the Ukrainian government was colluding with the DNC and Hillary Clinton to undermine the U.S. presidential election. And all I could say about that is shame on the Senate Intel Committee, Richard Burr and also Mark Warner, because they did not get to the bottom of things. They came up with a false conclusion. They didn't do any research. I bet you they don't know hardly anything about this. And all we have is text messages between Oleg Deripaska, Christopher Steele, and Mark Warner, and Adam Waldman as well. And so they're knee-deep in it. They had James Wolfe leaking the FISA memos to Ali Watkins. That is one of the most corrupt committees in all of Congress. And they came up with this false conclusion, basically throwing cover, if you will, to the Intel community. And shame on them, because they didn't get into any of this stuff. Just like, you know, Bob Mueller, after 2 years and $40 million, doesn't even know who Fusion GPS is. You want to tell me that he's engaged in some sort of an investigation? I don't think so. And anybody that dumb can't be that good. He's a fixer. He fixed the Pan Am 103. Bob Mueller did. He allowed people to rot in prison under Whitey Bulger's investigation. 52 people were murdered under his nose. There are so many blunders. And we just listened to that Kirikou guy, yeah. Right? The whistleblower that Bob Mueller put out a special file on. So, again, Bob Mueller breaks down people's doors like Roger Stone and Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort when it comes to his investigations, but for lying under oath or getting some fact not right. But when he lies under oath about whether or not he was looking for a job hat in hand at the Oval Office the day before he was appointed as special counsel, mm-hmm. where he should have recused himself based on that fact alone, is another example of why, you know, I don't know why we're not busting down Bob Mueller's doors. I don't know why we're not doing that. And I think it's just a travesty of injustice that we are constantly seeing two levels of justice, that Lady Justice is not blind. And we got to fix that. And I think that we're going to come a long way with that, not only with Horowitz's report in 2 weeks, or no, the 18th, in 1 week. I believe that's one way we're going to expect it. But I think we're going to even see some leaks before that. We've been seeing a lot of drip, drip, drip with the Giuliani investigation. And again, I just want to reiterate how brilliant the Giuliani piece is. A lot of people think Giuliani's acting flaky. And, you know, and Giuliani's been asked to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And if he does that, it's going to be real big trouble for the deep state, because he has a lot of information on the Bidens. And it goes back decades, when Biden was a senator, when Biden was a vice president, when Biden was in Ukraine, when Biden was in Romania. So there's a lot going on there that Giuliani indicated he knows a lot about. And he can say a lot of different things that could spell big trouble. And I just think it's a matter of time. And Trump is able to absolutely be patient about this and keep his mouth shut. And that, I think, is to his benefit. I think we're going to see a great rally tonight in Minnesota. I think there's going to be another great rally for Trump in St. Charles on Friday.
St. Charles, Louisiana.
Lake Charles.
Oh, Lake Charles. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Lake Charles. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of good things. And this whole impeachment thing is just all about politics and polls. That's it. Politics and polls. And it doesn't really matter, because the Senate, although I don't like the vulnerable position that our political system has allowed our president to be in, that based on the polls and whether you like a person or not, you can literally change the trajectory of 65, 70 million people and the will of the people. I think there's a flaw in our system. I don't think that our founding fathers ever expected that we were going to have so much anti-American sentiment as we do right now. The people on the left are not patriots. They're not defending our Constitution. They're not defending our republic. And what we're seeing is a war of ideas and a war of political posturing. I mean, Trump is basically trying to say, we don't want to be the NBA in China. We want to be the NBA with free speech in America. But let's not take it for granted. The NBA walks all over the president and trashes him every day of the week. But they won't do that to President Xi, because they'll be thrown in jail for it. So it's like, just because you have the freedom doesn't mean you need to take it for granted. I think that's the one takeaway to the NBA story. And then the other one is just the hypocrisy of the left. And at the end of the day, you have to just know that what Trump did was perfectly legal. Not only if you take into account the Ukraine treaty, if you take into account the fact that the president has come out even yesterday and said, hey, I wasn't pressured. He said that also.
The president of Ukraine said that.
He said
he doubled down on it.
And he said that in Europe as well. He consistently has said, I wasn't pressured. There was no pressure. This was no big deal. This was a normal call. The transcript speaks for itself. President Trump was talking about publicly available information, not secret information. And that CrowdStrike was the thing that we needed to look into. And that this Biden things that said some things that were horrible. And that was about the 2016 election. That's it. Boom. Done. It's not a big deal. And in fact, I hope that President Trump brings out more and more quid pro quo calls, because quid pro quo is a part of everyday business. When you buy a car, you're given money and you're getting a car.
Of course. Right?
So it just depends. How much money am I willing to give and how much car am I willing to buy? You know, whatever. So it's all about business and horse trading. And there's quid pro quo in almost everything we do. We navigate and negotiate every single decision we make. So it's not that big of a deal, folks. And Trump was perfectly within his legal right. As Kerikou said, there's got to be crimes being committed. And there was no crime being committed. Trump was perfectly allowed to do this. But again, this goes back to that George Stephanopoulos call interview where he said, would you take a tip from a foreign leader and get some help, blah, blah, blah?
And Trump said, I would do both. I would listen. But then if necessary, I'd call the FBI if I thought it rose to that level. You know, and it is the there is the possibility of being able to approach things from both sides.
Right. Well, when we get back, we're going to be talking about what's happening in Turkey and Syria, and we're going to address that situation as well. But, you know, there is a lot still left on the table with respect to Bill Taylor, with respect to, you know, a lot of the pieces of this puzzle, you know, not just the Bill Taylor, not just the illegal operations that were going on out of Ukraine, but how it impacts what we're doing in the Middle East and how we're negotiating with Europe. I also wanted to get to China. There is a so after the break, we're going to actually get into Turkey and Syria, but I wanted to talk briefly about China. The rumor is that China trade is not going to go anywhere anytime soon, that China is going to try to wait this out because this impeachment thing is having so much press coverage. People around the world are getting lost and confused as to what might happen, right? We talk about it every day because we also are interested in what's going to happen. Again, it's not from a criminal perspective. It's only from a popular opinion, public polling perspective. And I think that the polls are fake. The same polls that were predicting Hillary would win are the same polls in play now, and they're used for the same impact and effect. And one last thing before we head to break. There's this thing, it says, the refugee business is big business. It ain't cheap buying your ticket to the U.S. and food stamps, free education and housing. Between $10,000 and $20,000 will guarantee resettlement in the United States. The U.N.
want a piece
is
of the sky.
Knee deep in corruption with this, and now they're going broke, and people are wondering who's going to foot the bill for this. But we'll be back in just a moment.
Annual sponsor to our Times Square billboard. Need extra cash? How about putting an extra $600 in your pocket each month for the next 12 months? Or earn more by co-opting a 1 minute per hour ad spot with our four 15-second ad partners? All you have to do is tell a friend or colleague about our unique and affordable billboard opportunity where we offer billboard space at discounted rates and we will take care of the rest, from art design to photographs and video of your billboard ad. Billboard advertising offers the best bang for the buck, and our billboard puts you in Times Square only a half a block away from the New Year's Eve ball drop, exposing your brand to millions of people and putting you on top. Visit thescottadamsshow.com and click on the Advertise tab to learn more about this terrific opportunity to promote, save, and win. Call 215-592-1600 now to learn more about the great opportunities of billboard advertising. That's 215-592-1600. Call today.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with The Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. And, you know, I'm looking at an ad from Tom Steyer that's talking about impeachment. And it's just absolutely ridiculous, you know, the way they are going after this president. They were talking about impeachment before Inauguration Day. And here we are still. The Democrats, Trump derangement syndrome, can't get over it. President Trump has done a better job in his first 2.5 years than any other president in the history of America. And just look at our job numbers. Just look at everything that he's done. And, you know, don't think for 1 second that they are not afraid of this guy. This guy is untouchable. This guy, basically, they don't have dirt on him. So they're trying to take him out. Because he's right over the target with Ukraine. he's going to expose the hoax that was the Russia hoax. And a lot of deep staters are playing their last hand, and they're relying on the media. You know, Nancy Pelosi said it best with when she talked about the wrap-up smear, right? She talked about this wrap-up smear, and the wrap-up smear was you create a scenario, you print up some articles and put it out there in the press, and you say it comes from great sources, and they just run with it, and eventually it becomes like true, but it's not.
It's not true.
Like if you were to just hit the reset button and say, okay, what was the crime again? And you're like, there was no crime. Trump did not commit a crime. That's why this whole process can't go to the jury. It can't go to litigation because they don't have a case. If they ever tried to do the case, they would lose.
They also have to follow a process. If they really wanted to impeach the president, they would have a process underway. They don't.
Right. So they're
every
just trying to
single
use this
attempt
as a political
to impeach a president, well, whether it was Nixon, whether it was Clinton, there was always a detailed process.
And we talked about this has to be run out of Nadler's judiciary committee.
Yes.
It cannot be run out of Schiff's intel committee.
Exactly.
There's a jurisdictional issue. They can't even issue impeachment subpoenas. That's why the White House is not obliged to cooperate, because they're just sending out demand letters and calling them subpoenas. And Adam Schiff is lying to you every time he says we will send a subpoena out. He can't subpoena anybody. The guy's a bit of a joker. But let's talk about Turkey and Syria and the Kurds. And, you know, again, we talked about this yesterday, but we'll talk about it again today. And that is that Trump reiterated exactly what I had said to you all yesterday. And he said this yesterday in a press conference. And he basically explained it, and he said that we have talked about this for years, that Erdogan has been wanting that territory for years, the northern Syria territory. And so he has 3.5 million Syrian refugees in his country. He wants to displace them and put them back into Syria. But you have the Kurds there that are also supported by the United States, because we're also supporting our NATO ally, Turkey. And so they have this region of Syria that's the borders Turkey. Turkey wants to get rid of the refugees and put them back in that region. That means the Kurds are either going to have to get along or leave. The Kurds are being paid by the United States to actually house and incarcerate and, you know, guard the incarcerated ISIS fighters. And a lot of the worst, they're going to be removed and put somewhere else, maybe Getmo or somewhere else. We'll have a solution for them. But a lot of the fighters that are just taking orders and were fighting and not leadership, they will probably be embraced by Erdogan and brought into Turkey. And the rest of the Syrian fighters will set up a settlement in Syria. And the Kurds have a choice. The Kurds can either go back to Iraq or Damascus, because the Kurds fundamentally are from Iraq and Turkey, but they settled up in Syria. And, you know, PKK, you hear that being talked about a lot. That's the Kurdistan Workers Party. Okay, so PKK, there are fighters that fought on behalf of the United States. And as Meghan McCain said, you know, we financed them. And there was a lot of money to be made in financing them and arming them. Weapons trade, weapons distribution. I think that one of the key things that, one of the added bonuses to pulling out and de-conflicting these regions is that it breaks up the supply chain of weapons distribution out of Ukraine, for example, because a lot of the weapons were being shipped over to the Middle East in a very clandestine kind of non-nation-sponsored kind of way. And the payments that were being made in the black market. And it wasn't just with cash. It was with sex trafficking. It was with human trafficking. It was with drug trafficking. And so therefore, we can cut down a lot of these. We can break up a lot of the supply chains. And you hear Trump talk about supply chains quite a bit. When he's talking about China, he said yesterday, we're breaking up their supply chains like an egg. It's shattering like an egg. And, you know, and it's basically these corporations in China are having to leave and go elsewhere, right? To in order to and they're eating the profits. So, again, he's all about breaking up supply chains, because supply chains and money, just like he was about cutting off the oil for ISIS, get rid of their money source, right? So Trump thinks very pragmatically, very commonsensically. And you break up the those supply chains, whether it's oil, whether it's human trafficking, drug trafficking, means to pay, means to play, right? So the deep state, the establishment elite, and the globalists, they had ownership of all these different trade markets, and everybody was getting rich off of this. And they were turning around and, you know, getting support by the politicians by turning it around and basically having fundraisers for the politicians and helping them get reelected. And then in turn, you know, it was a kumbaya moment. And Adam Schiff was doing that with Igor Pasternak. Igor Pasternak would have the fundraisers, and Adam Schiff would actually pass legislation that would give Igor Pasternak millions and millions of dollars to do research and development on shipping blimps, aerocrafts that couldn't fly. And so basically they would just do the work and say, yeah, that's great. We have $15.5 million to launch a study on how to get this to do what we needed to do. And they would never accomplish anything. 2 years later, they would go for another round of funding and they have nothing that they've accomplished, except for having fundraisers and buying beautiful houses in Washington, D.C. that Gateway Pundit exposed.
And there's going to be a fundraiser in Westerville, Ohio in about 2 weeks for that same company.
Where I learned how to ski in Westerville. Snow trails out in Westerville, Ohio. In any case, so there's a lot of that going on around the world. And so what Trump is talking about with the Middle East is that we need to just get out of the Middle East. We have nothing to gain there. And the Kurds, they could avoid slaughter by simply just going back to Iraq or going back to Damascus or going back to wherever it is that they could find a compromised safety zone. And Trump has made very clear, crystal clear, that Erdogan is not to slaughter anybody. And if they do, we'll bring them to their knees financially with sanctions and tariffs and whatnot. And they will be isolated from the world. They might be kicked out of NATO, and Europe would have a say in the matter as well. So, and then there's the Russian impact. And now it becomes a problem and a responsibility for Russia and Turkey, and not so much for the United States, which is where we want it. But that's, I think it's a pragmatic and very good strategy. I just think that people need to read up about it a little bit more. Well, you've been listening to The Scott Adams Show. My name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonora Cravetta.
And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.